This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
It's a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And we've got tickets to give away later on this week, so I have to let you know what number you need to call to register for your chance to win tickets. We'll be giving away tickets to Thursday's game between Michigan State and Wisconsin. And then on Friday and Saturday, we'll have tickets for Friday and Saturday's hockey game between Michigan State and Alaska Anchorage. So give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, to register for your chance to win tickets to basketball or hockey. So give us a call at those numbers right now, and you'll have a chance to win tickets for the basketball game on Thursday and the hockey game on Friday and Saturday. And right now, we're going to talk some hockey with Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press, because the Detroit Red Wings are on the verge of setting a new record in the NHL on wins at home in a row. They're on the verge of winning 21 games in a row. And that would break the old mark of 20 set back in the 30s and earlier, like in the 70s. So let's bring in Drew Sharp and talk about the record. Drew, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on?
Hey, this record that the Wings are ready to set.
Yeah, the Lions set other records.
Other records. Yeah, we heard some of those records.
Those aren't happy records, you know.
That's true. Yeah, but this one, though, it's a happy one. But how do you look at this one? Because the rules have changed since the record was set, winning the 20 in a row. So how do you look at the record? Would you say it's just an unbeaten string? Or how do you look at that record, because they didn't have ties then, and they didn't have, the overtime, the playoffs, the way they do it now. So how do you look at that record?
Well, back in the 30s, when the Bruins first set the record, they did have a 10-minute overtime, but it wasn't sudden death. Mm-hmm. So they did have overtime at that point. But when the Flyers won this in 76, there was no overtime. There was no shootout. So if you did not have the lead after the regulation three periods, it was a tie. So it does change. You have to look at it from a different context, I think. Some people at ESPN yesterday saying you got to stamp an asterisk on it. Well, not necessarily an asterisk, but when you win 20 straight, however you win it, however the rules set up victory, mm-hmm. it's still an impressive record, to win 20 straight.
Right.
But it's not as impressive as what the Flyers did, because they had to win those games within the regulation 60 minutes. And the Wings, four times in the streak, had to go to overtime or the shootout. So, I mean, it does make it different. Does it cheapen it? It doesn't cheapen it by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think what the Flyers did in 76, the way the rules were set up then, made it more impressive. And the analogy I like to use, like, go to the NFL. They've changed the rules so much that it's easier for a quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards
yes.
in a season. The NFL had three quarterbacks who did that this year, including Matthew Stafford of the Lions. Until this season, only two quarterbacks had done that in the past. And the first one was Dan Marino back in 83 or 84, when the rules were really tough for quarterbacks, Mm-hmm. So Marino's 5,000-yard season is better than the other 5,000-yard seasons we've seen, because the rules were different then. It doesn't make what these guys did last year any less impressive. 5,000 yards is 5,000 yards. But you do, when you're trying to look at it from an historical standpoint, you do have to factor in exactly how the rules were enforced at that certain era.
Well, Drew, let me put it to you this way. Do you think the rules, and it looks like the rules in all sports, not just in basketball, hockey and football, but also in basketball and baseball, it seems like they're making the rules easier so athletes can have more success, and therefore we will look at them differently, because now they can have more success in today's sports than they could in yesterday's sports, for example.
Right. You want more offense. I think all sports agree offense sells. Defense will win you championships. You got to make stops to win championships. But from the mainstream, from the regular season, if you're trying to sell tickets in the regular season and boost TV ratings in the regular season, you promote offense. And all sports are doing that. And, you know, NHL, when they came back from the lockout, they made it a more offensive-friendly league, you know, because I think they did feel that defenses had become so much more sophisticated that it was just stifling the life out of offense, out of these tremendous skaters. I mean, it's just hockey at its highest form is a beautiful sport. It really is an exciting sport. And I think the NHL has done a very good job of trying to pump up some offensive life in there, and part of that was the shootout in sudden death overtime, because people played for ties. You know, if the game was tight, the end of the late mm-hmm. third period, they would play for a tie and just get the 1 point. You know, so I mean, I understand why they've changed the rules, and generally speaking, they've been successful in changing the rules. But when you see a significant milestone like this, like the Wings are capable of achieving tonight, I don't think you can just immediately say, oh, this is the greatest home winning streak of all time. You have to put it within the context of how those other teams were able to establish it.
And yes, but will we ever see in hockey where they'll eliminate fighting, or is that too much a part of the game and the history of the game?
No, I don't think you need to eliminate fighting. I don't think fighting is the problem in the sport. That's not the problem at all. I think what they've done with the rules is that they've taken the authority off the ice. The players police it themselves. And there was a time when, you know, that if you went against if an opponent went against the team's top player, they'd be physical players who would come out and take care of business. Now, what's happened now is that with the cap, the salary cap, the way that it is, you really can't afford to have a quote-unquote goon as a fourth liner. You really can't afford that now. You have to put as many good skaters as you can in your four forward lines. You have to. And I think that's part of the problem right now, is that players feel that they can go after guys without any real fear of being of retaliation. And that's where I think the rules need to be relaxed a little bit and let the players police themselves. They've been able to do that for years. Again, fighting is part of the sport. It's part of it. It's not the most beautiful part of the sport, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I do think it's imperative to let the players police this game as they've done for years.
Well, maybe they will one of these days. They'll let them go up.
Again, what's going to happen, though? Someone is going to get seriously hurt. Seriously, seriously hurt in a fight, and that's when you're going to see the outrage, you know, come down from people. But fighting's not what has cost the sport. A lot of people think, well, it's not a mainstream sport because people don't want to see fighting. I don't buy that for a second. You know why people don't like hockey? It's because, you know, you can't really understand it on television.
Yes.
If you can see it in person, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you watch it in person, it's a beautiful sport to see how it's played. But, you know, in baseball and football, you see how the substitution patterns are. In basketball, there's a stoppage in play. It allows a player to come in. You know when the substitutions are made. But in hockey, you know, changes are made. Line changes are made during the course of the game. And it's impossible to pick that up on television. You don't know that the strategy involved in matching lines. You can't see that on television. There's no way that can translate to television. And that's what hurts it from a mainstream standpoint.
I know I really like college hockey, and maybe that's because they don't have the fighting in college hockey. Maybe that's why I love and more partial to college hockey than a professional hockey. And you probably saw Michigan State, they sold out Joe Louis Arena, and they do well every time they're playing in Detroit. So what do you think it is, that maybe the disconnect or the difference between the college hockey and the pro hockey game?
Well, I think part of it might be the cost. I mean, it's hard. There's so many hockey fans in Detroit, and so few of those fans regularly go to Wings games because that's such a hot ticket to get that, you know, when people get those Wings tickets, they don't surrender them that easily. You know, this is why. And, you know, it's very expensive to go to a Wings game. It's just the price of doing business. You know, when they've been as successful as they've been, they can sell their tickets at a premium. But there are so many fans who love hockey who can't get to a Wings game. If they have the chance, if they, you know, they live, you know, close to the Detroit area, but don't really, you know, have an inkling to go to East Lansing or Ann Arbor to catch a hockey game, hey, they're playing at Joe Louis Arena, it's great. I mean, this is why that, you know, and I was talking to the Illiches about this last week when they announced that the Winter Classic. Yeah, Michigan is going to host the actual game, and they're going to get, you know, 116,000, 117,000 people there. But I think Comerica Park is going to be jammed with hockey fans watching the GLI. The Invitational, it's very popular, you know, that you were talking about. They hold during the holiday season. Yes. There will be a couple minor league games there. There are so many hockey fans in the Detroit area who can't get Red Wings tickets but will jump at the opportunity for a reasonably priced ticket to go to Comerica Park and watch these other games play.
And, well, let's talk about another game being played, the one you're coming up here for Thursday night to see Michigan State and Wisconsin. I know I was impressed with the game against Ohio State. Were you impressed, and what do you think that does for Michigan State now?
Well, I was surprised that when Tom Izzo said afterwards that was probably the most focused his team has been since that Louisville victory they had in the Elite Eight in 2009, I believe. And I believe him. That was as focused of a game. And it was an example of Tom Izzo actually listening to his players. I think he pushes them. He has to push them, but sometimes he pushes them too hard. And Draymond Green, I give him a lot of credit for going up to Tom and saying, "Look, you know what? We're going to be focused for this. Don't worry about it. Don't push us, you know, to the point where we lose that energy that they have to, because they knew it was going to be a tough game there, you know, playing at Columbus." So it was a leap of faith on Izzo's part that, okay, I'm going to trust the leadership of my team. And it paid off. And that's that type of win could be the type of catapult they need to get them a share of the Big Ten championship, because you look at the rest of the schedule, their toughest game. I mean, Wisconsin, all games in the conference are going to be challenging, but you would figure their toughest game of their final six regular season games should be the one at Indiana. It should be at Indiana. They should beat Wisconsin Thursday, and I think they should beat Ohio State in the regular season finale there. And if they only lose one more game and that loss is at Indiana, they're going to have a share of the Big Ten championship. And who thought that was possible? You know, going into the start of this season when Michigan State wasn't even nationally ranked.
Yes, that's really surprised me this season, Drew, because I thought they'd be okay, but I didn't think they would be as good as they've become. And has that surprised you at all that they've become this good with such a young team exactly?
It is surprising because I know Izzo likes these type of teams. He's most uncomfortable when his team is ranked in the preseason top three.
Right.
You know, and I've told him this on a number of occasions that, you know, as great of a career as he has enjoyed, you know, he's going to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. One thing he still hasn't done is that he has not had a season that matched the high preseason expectations. Two or three times they've been ranked in the top three, and they've been abysmal during the course of that season. And that's something I think that still this program needs to achieve to further cement itself as one of the elite programs nationally. It is easier when when you're off the radar, no one's really paying attention to. You can use that chip on your shoulder, which Izzo uses brilliantly. You know, but what I want to see from this program at some point is that when they are ranked that high nationally, to have a season that's consistent with those rankings. And we really have not seen that. I mean, look past even that stretch when they won the championship in 2000. I don't believe they were that highly. I think they were in the top 10, but I don't think they were ranked in the preseason top two or three. I mean, we can look back on that one. But for the most part, when we've seen this team enjoyed its biggest success, it's those years when people weren't expecting that much from them.
Well, that's true. Hey, Drew, I want to thank you for being with me today, and I know I will see you up here on Thursday, buddy.
I'll see you Thursday.
Okay, bye-bye. Right. And that's Drew Sharp from the Detroit Free Press. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Many Catholics see the Obama administration's requirement that most employee health insurers cover birth control as a direct attack on religious freedom.
We can't comply and we won't comply. There's no way we can. It's a matter of conscience.
Other Catholics say a change long overdue. I'm Neil Conan, Healthcare Catholics and Contraception. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
There's a chance we could see some snow, drizzle, and freezing drizzle today with a high of 35 degrees. A low of 25 tonight and cloudy. Mostly cloudy for Wednesday, the high tomorrow 40, and cloudy on Thursday. Rain and snow are likely, and Thursday's high will be in the mid-30s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or MSU hockey, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or hockey right here on WKAR. And right now, let's talk with Craig Fields, the head coach of the Waverly Warriors. Craig, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Earl?
Hey, pleasure to talk with you. I know we haven't talked much lately, but I've been following your team, and the few times I've seen you, man, you always seem to get, I don't know why, how you do it. You get these guys to really play hard. They buy into your system? How do you convince these guys to play so hard?
I don't know. It's tough, believe me. It's very tough nowadays, but I think they believe in us. We've had some success over the years, so I think that helps. So, believe me, it is tough, though.
And you play in such a that's the thing I was going to ask you. You play in such a tough conference, and the league is so tough. What do you attribute your success to? They're just rising up to that occasion because you have tough games just about every week.
Our non-league is the Blue Division, so that's very, very tough. To compete at that level, but our division alone is very tough. So it's just trying to stay on them, trying to get them to understand, to play hard. In order to win, you got to play hard and execute. So we're doing a decent job of it. I wish I could do a little better, but everybody, I think, is in that boat too.
Yeah, I know a lot of kids know each other. I mean, they know the Sexton teams are doing well, Eastern's doing well, East Lansing, and a lot of those guys, they all hang out together. Does that even maybe give them a little bit more incentive that they want to beat these guys when they get a chance to play against them?
Definitely, and that goes with our guys. They know all these guys, so I think in some ways with some of the other teams in the area, we may have a little bit of an advantage because our guys know them and they're not scared of them. So they just say, let's go out and play. And I think that helps us a lot.
I would say so because they have to play against all these tough teams. And I know I've talked about this a lot of times before. We've got some really good basketball here in the Mid-Michigan area, don't we?
Definitely. You look at the standings today in the paper, I believe there's four, five, six, seven teams that are in the area that are at least honorable mention and ranked in the state. So that says a lot about the basketball around here.
It does. Now, we got the playoffs. The districts will be coming up real soon. How do you look at your chances in the district playoffs?
That's sort of down the road. We're trying to win a league championship. That's all I'm really concerned with. Tonight's a big game against Consortium out of Detroit.
Yeah.
We play them here. I think they're fifth or sixth ranked in Class C. So that'll be a good game tonight. And then Friday night, we have a huge game against Mason. They're second place in the league. We're first place, so it's got a lot of league ramifications with it. So we're just trying to go one game at a time.
Yeah, that Mason game, I've seen Lee Cheney. I mean, he's got a really good team out in Mason, and if they get another, at least from my standpoint, if they get another score to go with the two they've already got, then they'll really be tough.
Without question, man. Lee does a great job out there, and those two, McNamara and Somerville,
yes,
very good players and definitely on our radar.
Yes, and if Lavalle becomes that third scorer, then you're really going to have your hands full.
Oh, definitely. Any team with three scorers, you've got a little bit of work to do.
Oh, that's for sure. And that's the thing about Mid-Michigan area basketball. We've got so many good teams in this area, and I imagine it must be awfully tough when you're getting out and scouting and trying to scout all these teams, especially when they're coming up, because you got to scout everybody to make sure, that your team can get ready for them. How tough is it when you have to go out and scout everybody and knowing you've got another team a week in and week out? And, sometimes as we know, kids will take teams lightly. Can you keep that at all possible for teams to play them hard and not take a team lightly?
That's a huge struggle, and we're going through that this season for sure. We've had trouble on Tuesday nights, and our league is Friday, and so I think they're putting some effort in there, but Tuesday's been an issue for us, so we've talked about that. We're trying to do some things a little different to keep them ramped up for Tuesdays also, but it's a long year, and we try to go one game at a time. We seriously do that. And we'll scout ahead and that kind of thing, but we're usually one game at a time.
Yes, at this time of year, do you find that the kids are starting to maybe get a little tired, even though they are young, but do they get a little tired because the league is in the year starting to wind down?
Exactly, yep. We usually go 2 hours of practice first half of the season, and then we try to get a read on the guys and back practice down a little bit because by then you're just trying to get things, execute well and stuff like that. You're not putting in a whole lot of new stuff. So they should have all those things. Now you're just trying to get it where it's going tip top. So that's what we're back down on our practice time a little bit. Just give me a lot of effort for the time we're there and then, go rest. So we're trying some different things.
Do you concentrate, when you get to this point in the season, do you concentrate even more on fundamentals to make sure they're doing everything fundamentally right, even if you don't do as much in practice time?
Exactly, because you lose that a little bit because you're working on different things, and so sometimes you sort of get away from the fundamentals, and that's what we try to do is go back and go over those things just to make sure they have them and don't forget them and that type of thing. So, yep, we do that for sure.
Do you look? I know you're the varsity coach. The head coach for the varsity. But how much do you look at the JVs and the freshman team? And so you maybe start looking ahead to the next year or the next couple of years and look ahead with the team, the players that are on your JV and freshman. And do you try to project those guys who might be in, even if they're not starting, but might be on the squad the next year or the next 2 years?
Oh, definitely. In communication with our freshman and JV coaches, just about every day. I can, on triple headers on Tuesdays, I get to see the other two teams play. And definitely, my assistants and I, we write down different lists every week about next year's team just to get an idea of what we need, who can play, and those types of things. So they're all being evaluated every day, basically, and believe me, we write down lists all the time.
Now, when I see you over the summer, because I run out into you out at the ISO camp during the summer. How much do you evaluate some of the other teams, the other area teams at the summer camps? Even though a lot of maybe half those guys won't even be on the team when in fall practice.
Oh, for us, we look at we played well the last couple summers. Mm-hmm. What that tells us, how I go about it is we could be pretty good. We could be okay. Just because you're winning a lot in the summer, that means something because you want to win and it gets your guys excited for the year to coming. But we just try to look at, we could be all right. We got to do something because teams haven't practiced a lot. They're not playing the type of defense that they normally might play. They haven't scouted you and all those types of things. So it's a little easier in the summer. So we try not to get too excited about, what we're doing in the summer as far as wins and losses.
Well, when you look at your league play, how do you look at the league this year? I assume it's a pretty tough league, but how do you look at the league from your standpoint when you look at all the games you have to play week to week to week? How do you look at all those games and look at the league this year?
Well, our first priority every year is try to win the league. Any chance. That's the first championship you can win is a league championship. So we put a lot of emphasis on winning the league, and then after that's taken care of, if you can do that, then it's looking for a district. So our league is tough. We're at the top right now, and that means we're going to try to take everybody's best shot. They're coming to get us. So we try to remind our guys, we're on top right now, but you can fall very easily if we're not focused. So we know everybody's coming to get us, and we try to respond to that.
I know the last couple of years, because I've been out in your early, one of your first or second games of the year, it seems like you've had maybe one of your toughest opponents for the last couple of years right at the beginning of the season. How do you prepare your team for those first games when you have to come out the box really with a very tough opponent?
We just try to do the best we can. We try to get certain things in. We know that what a team might be doing to us, and we try to make sure we're prepared for those things But early in the year, everybody's still trying to work things out. We try to do the best we can, and then I know our thing is get better for towards the end of the year. You know, you can't win a championship in December, so we try to plan that out so we're getting very, you know, in top shape later in the year for sure.
Well, I know when I talk to the various coaches around the area, the one thing everyone is talking about, how do you cut down on turnovers? You have a magic formula for trying to cut down on the court turnovers your team may cause?
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, when I talk with the various coaches, the one thing they all talk about is trying to cut down on turnovers. Do you have a remedy to cut down on how you cut down on all those turnovers?
No, because if I did, we wouldn't be having about 15 a game ourselves. But, yeah. We try to do some things in practice, actually, the last couple of weeks to make it so they're thinking about that. So we're doing some things and trying to get them to value the ball more. And it's tough. I mean, look at pros, college. You know, it's tough to stop turnovers. You just got to get them to value the ball.
And one thing I got to tell you, Craig, I've come to appreciate free throw shooting, because I see so many high school games and a lot of kids just can't shoot free throws. Maybe they get nervous when they get up to the line. What do you tell them about? What do you do about the free throw shooting? Because it seems like I was at a game, matter of fact, last week, and I saw one player went to the line and missed 13 free throws.
Wow.
and you don't expect to see that, but those things do happen from time to time. What do you tell kids about free throw shooting, and is it, how challenging is it? Because I know a lot of people think, the fans think, that you're standing up there at the free throw line 15 feet away from the basket, and that's the easiest shot. But I say, no, it's not an easy shot, because you are 15 feet away from the basket. It's not like a layup.
Exactly. But I definitely don't have the magic answer to that one either, because we've struggled over the years, different years, not being able to shoot well. As a matter of fact, we went to 1 year where if you mentioned the words free throw, we had to run because we couldn't shoot them. We practiced more. We did all kinds of things, and nothing was working. So we said, we're not doing anything. You figure it out on your own before practice, after practice. If you mention free throw, we will run. So actually, we got better at them that year. So I have no idea. I can't fathom a bad free throw shooter, to be honest with you, because I thought I was decent at it when I played. So I try to talk to them about rhythm and things like that, but no, I don't have the answer for sure.
Well, I know it's a puzzling question for a lot of coaches, that's for sure. Now, hey, tell us about your game tonight against Detroit Consortium, because that is a very tough team.
Oh, definitely. They got a lot of size, a lot of D1 guys. We're just going to go play. It's a non-league game, so, hey, let's see how we match up. Let's go compete, and whatever happens, happens. We're just going to try to compete with them and see what happens.
Were you able to compare that game maybe to other teams that you play in your league or from around the league or that you might face in the playoffs in the next couple of weeks? We use that game as a yardstick?
Oh, definitely. They're one of the top teams in the state overall, and not just Class C. So, and we have a tough district. We're playing an A district, Eastern, Okemos, East Lansing, Everett, St. John's, DeWitt. I mean, those are pretty good teams. So this is just another step, see how we match up, if we can compete, you know, that type of thing. So we're just going to show up, try to compete with them, and see what happens.
Well, Craig, good luck. You've certainly got a tough league to play. You play in, and you've got a tough schedule coming up. So best of luck to you, my friend.
All right, appreciate it, Earl. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, too. That's Craig Fields, the head coach of Waverly, and he does a great job coaching the Waverly Warriors, and he's with us each and every day. Well, I talk with him quite a bit, and it's always a pleasure talking with Craig right here on AM 870. Coming up, we'll be talking with Mike Ingram in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about LCC basketball. Mike has a chance of getting kids from all over the area. He doesn't have to just rely on one or two schools. We've got so many good teams in the area. So we'll talk with Mike on how about you go about the recruiting players for LCC that has, so many. He's getting some good players. You can see that's reflective in how well LCC does. Well, let's go to the phones, and we've got Rick on the line. Rick, how you doing? Or JC, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Earl?
Okay.
Hey, I'm confused. I like all of us. Hey, now since they changed these girls and boys basketball, I mean, at the same time.
Yes.
Okay, and they put in the paper boys basketball only. Now, they start at 7 o'clock, right?
If that's the only game, yes.
Okay, now, if the boys and girls play, do they flip-flop every other game, or are the girls always after, or the boys always before, or what?
Well, right this year, girls are before. And so you can see those because I thought
they changed that.
They flip-flop from year to year.
Well, I thought they changed that to where the girls were going to play second now.
Maybe not this year, but at least on the games I've been to on Tuesday night, the girls always play first and then the boys follow. And usually, most of the time, the boys are starting like 7:30 or so.
Okay. So the girls start about 6.
Yeah.
Because I heard that they were going to flip-flop them this year. The girls play second. And people remember earlier in the fall when people were talking, well, now everybody's going to see the boys' game, and they're going to be filing out after when the girls' games start, and it'll be kind of embarrassing for the girls, you know.
Which yep.
girls' basketball is awesome. But now next year, are they going to flip-flop?
Flip-flop the other way next year.
Oh, I thought that
it
was
doesn't. It does it year to year. So okay. they flip-flop every year, next year to be, the boys will play first next year.
Will that be the first time that's happened?
No. It happened the year before.
And is that what happened? Everybody kind of filed out after the boys' game?
Some do. I mean, the crowd definitely gets smaller.
Yeah, that's too bad. And they should have just kept it the way it was.
Well, they should have. Yeah, a lot of other people, especially.
Because it doesn't say in the paper when it says boys and girls.
Right.
Because I thought they alternated maybe every other game or something.
No.
I didn't know. They didn't put the times in the paper.
Right.
When the boys and the girls play.
Yeah, because the boys and girls play on Friday nights they play they just bring the varsity boys and girls on Friday night. The varsity boys will play and the varsity girls will play. And on Friday, on Tuesday night, sometime they'll play, it's already JV's varsity and junior varsity and those things on Tuesday.
So if it's boys only, it's about 7, and if it's boys and girls, about 7:30.
Yeah, it'll be right. It's right because they have to give a 20-minute rest in between games. So after when the girls' game ends, it might be close to 7 or so, and then you have to wait 20. The boys get 20 minutes to warm up, and then you'll start the boys' game afterwards.
Yeah. Do you think that if Draymond and Sellinger both kind of finish out the season about their average for rebounds and points, and if State wins the Big Ten title outright, or if they tie, I think Draymond Green's got a good shot at winning that, don't you?
Yes, winning the Big Ten Player of the Year, sure.
Yeah.
I think Sellinger's had several injuries this year, so that should hold him back, hurt him a little bit because of all the injuries he's had. So
that was a sure gutty performance Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That was old school Tom Izzo basketball there.
Yep, he's got the team that he wants now that he really likes, and the players have bought in and everything, and it's really been very good for him.
Yeah, you can have all the great players you want, but if you ain't got chemistry, you ain't got
nothing. Right, exactly. You got to have that chemistry. Hey, thanks a lot.
Earl.
Thank you, JC. Yep, bye-bye. And we're at 39 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The mark of Africa was always in her home, writes Rebecca Walker, and in it, she discovered Black Cool. She's edited a new collection of essays where she hopes to identify and define the elements of that elusive quality, as she puts it, a periodic table of Black Cool. I'm Neil Cunningham, Black Cool, 1,000 Streams of Blackness. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast for today is calling for a chance of snow, drizzle, and freezing drizzle, and a high in the mid-30s. Cloudy overnight. Look for a low of 25. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, the high near 40. And Thursday, cloudy with rain and snow likely and a high of 37. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk at msu.org. If you want a chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or hockey, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, to register for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or MSU hockey. Well, right now, let's change sports again and talk a little bit more basketball with the head coach of Lansing Community College, Mike Ingram. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl Salmon.
Hey, it's good to talk to you. Haven't talked to you in a while. You've won 11 of the last 12 games. What's going on over there at LCC?
You know, Earl, we're starting to play. Well, we've been playing some great basketball since the conference started. You know, I always thought that Nate Duhon was the best player in the state, and all of a sudden he just started playing like it. I think that, you know, he had some injuries early that kind of hurt him. I thought that our young players weren't really ready, but, you know, now the guys are playing really well. You know, Cameron Sanchez is playing a great point guard and one of the top point guards, you know, right now, as stats say, in the country. You know, he's like number two or number three in assists. Skylar Moore is in the top 10 in three-point shooting. You know, average Rashawn Ball is averaging a double-double. As far as points and rebounds, and Montel Smith has really came on strong in the last six or seven games. Those are my starters, and they're playing, you know, some great basketball. They've been very competitive. They're playing very hard, and I think, you know, one thing that was hurting us is we didn't have an in-between game. We either played great or we played bad, and now we're starting to get that in-between game where they can dig down and play tough when the game gets tough.
Mike, you know, I see you at a lot of games, at a lot of high school games. You know, I'm a lot of games. How much do you use? Because high school ball seems to have gotten so good in the area. Is that a big plus for you in LCC? Because you can get a lot of quality players out of the market to go and play over at LCC.
Well, you know, Earl, I've always built our program around the kids. You know, from Lansing, they've always been my first, second, and third. You know, priority. And then most of the time, whenever I've had a kid that's made a big impact for us that hasn't been from Lansing, it's usually been a kid that just showed up, you know, or was here on his own. And besides, I went out and got Nate Huffman, and I went out and got Marcus Norris, and then one of our greatest players, Joe Blankenship, just, you know, showed up. But, you know, the Lansing area is great. High school coaching, the kids are pretty good players, and I just think that I'm just a stepping stone for them to really show how much better they're going to be when they get to college, because, you know, in high school you don't have the shot clock, and I think our game is faster, and so a lot of times kids come here and they say, man, that kid has really improved since high school, or we didn't know that he was that good. But a lot of it is just college, and the game is faster and quicker, and you know, you get that that shot clock.
Yes, and that's one thing I've noticed when they get to your level. Like, yes, just about every player needs to improve somewhat, but they usually take a pretty big jump, don't they, when they go from high school to college?
Yeah, I think the first thing, and I think this is true at all levels of jumping from high school to college, I think the first thing is they just have to learn how hard they have to work, number one, and then they have to realize how tough the competition is, because, you know, a lot of times in high schools might only have one or two, you know, good to great players, where most of the time in college, all the players are at least very good.
Is that a tough adjustment for you to teach these kids? I know how you love to, you harp on defense, but is that something that you really have to really drill into the kids? They've got to play better defense, or do they just see that when they start going to the first practices, that, boy, I got to really step up my game on the defensive end?
Well, I got to be honest with you, Earl. I struggled with that this year because I thought that we had a great team. I didn't really say anything about it, but I thought that we were going to be great. And we start out the year where we're getting smashed, and, or, you know, we beat a couple good teams. But what happened is I just hadn't had the talent in so many years, you know, where I had to work on conditioning. I had to work on defense. I had to work on all the toughest plays and then make shooting the last thing we were doing. And then over the break, you know, I just started doing a lot of shooting. I said, oh, shoot, I got some guys that can play. And so now all the things that we did first term, all those tough things that we did, the guys are doing them naturally now. But I think the thing that we've done this time is that, you know, we got, you know, six or seven guys that can score double figures at any time. And most of our last few games, we've had five guys in, you know, double figures. And I think we were one of the worst free throw shooting teams and one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country. And now I think we're in the top 15 in both categories.
I know we always talk about the education factor. How are the guys going in the classroom? Because I know talking to so many kids when they come out of high school, Mike, as you know, a lot of them haven't paid as much attention to the classwork as they should have.
Well, you know what? I think this is a good group of kids that I bought in that were freshmen. I think the sophomores that I had were, you know, decent students. But you know what, Earl? We've really made some strides in the last couple of years with our new athletic director, whereas we're trying to make sure that our athletes have some things to help them out academically right here in the athletic department. I remember I told you, I said, hey, Earl, next time you come down, I want to take you upstairs and show you what we're doing for our athletes. Now, you know, we have our own study room now where the kids always have tutors are in there all day. There's, you know, computers in there. We've got a room where the kids can go upstairs and watch ESPN, you know, not all day, but in between their classes. You know, we've got a room where they can meet, which also has a cable in there. So those are the things that we haven't had before. And I think the students are starting to take advantage of, you know, having, you know, tutors at, you know, at their disposal without having to set up appointments. You know, they can just go up there and they're there, but also have a place where they can congregate together and be very comfortable.
Mike, do you notice that the guys, do they start to build in or start to focus in on maybe I better start hitting the books in the first year, or sometimes does it take basically to the second year before they really get it that they've got to pay more attention to the classwork?
Well, you know what? We're trying to get them to start as soon as they get here because, you know, like I said, you know, college is a little different. You get to set up, you know, your own schedule. But, you know, our rules are not like in high school where I think that you might be able to be ineligible 1 week in high school, I think, and then maybe the next week be eligible, where when you get ineligible here, you're through, you know, for the years. But the kids got to come in. They got to take assessment tests. So most of the time the kids get put in classes where they're supposed to be. They're not in over the head. And then it's just a thing of making sure you're going to class, making sure you're turning assignments, making sure you're passing exams.
Yeah, Mike, I think you told me when I was there the last time when I saw you there that the kids, that you had a couple other guys who were coming out for the team. But did they come out and how well are they doing? Or were you able to expand on that roster?
Right. And we did. We picked up Wesley Wilson, who hit a game-winning shot for us in overtime 2 games ago at the buzzer with 0.5 seconds ago. And we picked up a kid named Leroy Green. And what those kids brought to us, especially during the winter break, is that they're very athletic. You know, they're very fast. They're very strong. They're very aggressive. They're very competitive. And we needed something like that. They talk a lot, you know. And these guys needed something like that. And they bought quite a spark. They're very vocal, you know, on the bench. And so they've helped us with that.
Okay, we've got a caller for you. Let's go out to Fort Wayne, and Ray is on the line. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing? Earl, what are you talking about today?
Basketball.
Okay, any Big Ten?
Well, no, we're talking with Lansing Community College coach right now, but, you know, Michigan State's playing tonight. That's the one basketball game. Not tonight. They got Ohio State playing Minnesota tonight.
I was just going to ask you for a breakdown on who you thought was going to win the Big Ten title on basketball.
Well, we can do that another time. We got a few more days.
Sorry, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And, yeah, Mike, I know you follow Big Ten basketball. Who do you think is going to win the title between Michigan State and Ohio State? They're tied for right now for the first place.
Yeah, you know, I think that if Ohio State couldn't beat Michigan State at Ohio State with their fans going crazy, with the game being on national TV, that it's got to be tougher, you know, for them when they come to the Breslin. Because, you know, when Michigan came here, I was at that game and seeing how prepared Tom had his guys defensively. And, I mean, at one time it was so loud in there. My wife said, man, you can't even hear yourself talk. So I think that the advantage, you know, right now, you know, goes to Michigan State. And I still remember when Tom said, you know, earlier in the year before the season started that I really like this team and I'm going to coach. And I'm saying to myself, man, how can he like this team more than last year's team because of all those guys that he had? But as the season went on, you can see that, hey, he's got some guys that he can coach. He's got some guys that he can push. And then the best thing that he's got going for him is his intangible guy, the guy that cheers, the guy that rebounds, the guy that takes charge, the guy that plays defense, the guy that does everything just happens to be his best player.
Yeah. And that makes a big difference when your best player is yeah, it
That's
makes
right.
a huge difference. And
yeah, because everybody's looking for an intangible guy. You know, a lot of times it's another guy, you know, that does all that stuff. But this time it's Draymond, and it's just a great thing to see because I think as the season is going on, I watch Draymond sometimes, and he's turning into, like, sometimes he looks like he's the best rebounder in the country.
Yeah, he does. And now, at your level, when you have a team or teams, when you look back on the years and the teams you've had, do you ever have a team like, you know, last year we knew that Tom, yes, they had a good team, but they didn't really listen to him. And now this year's team, apparently they're listening, they're buying in. Do you ever have teams that, one, really listen and buy in, and then some years maybe you had a team that didn't listen that much, didn't buy in?
Well, you know, I thought that this year's team really didn't listen and really didn't buy in. But I'm like this, you know, hey, I'm going to do it the way I do it. I'm not changing for you. This has been successful for me. And I thought that it was really tough this year. But, you know, it happens. But I think, you know, just like with Term, you know, I think I built our program on the way that I like to play, and I think he's built his on the way that he likes to play. And even when, you know, everybody thought they were struggling last year, they still were a very good team. But I just thought that it was really something, and I mentioned it to him when I seen him one time, that he said that, hey, I really like this team. This team's gonna be really good. But really what it was is he's just got a bunch of kids that, you know, he can coach there. And that probably every time he talks, they're looking him right in his eyes. And you know, you can just go to battle with and you can go to war with teams like that. And this team that I have right now, they've turned in to that team. You know, they turn to that team that's listening. They turn to that team that's running your offense. They turn to that team that's, you know, playing the defense that you want them to play. They're making adjustments. And you know what the other thing is? Winning is contagious.
Yes.
And when you're winning, everything is good.
Yes, because you winning these last 11 games out of 12, that certainly certainly gets the teams and the players' attention. And they want to keep that winning going, don't they?
Yeah, I tell you, when we played our first game in the conference after being 4-10, and we came out and we smashed the team our first game, and I could see the look on the coach's face. Oh shoot, these guys are back, you know. And you know what? And you know what, Earl? And it just came, you know, all of a sudden, just like over the Christmas break, we just started doing some different things and the guys just took off with it, but I really believe that the guys hung in there with me. Because I told them, I said, hey, I've been there before. I've lost some games, but I've also turned it around. And I told them this, and I meant this with all my heart. I said, hey, I know we're 4-10 right now. I said, but I'd rather be 4-10 right now and win our first couple games in the conference than be 15-0 and lose our first two games in the conference, because the conference was more important. I thought the guys believed that, and I think that's why they're having success. I thought it was a great learning experience for them, because I told them, I said, hey, you know, I would see them at games. They wouldn't have any of their Lansing Community College gear on and stuff. And I used to tell them, hey, wear your gear. Let people know where you're playing at, you know. And I said, it's going to help us in recruiting because people want to know where you're at. I said, hey, the same fans that you think are down on you now when you're losing, they're going to be right there when you start winning. So I started going to games. Yep, and I started seeing them in the gear and stuff. And so, you know, it's just little things that become big in team sports.
Well, Micah, I got to ask you, since you and I go to see so many high school teams, when Eastern and East Lansing hook up the third time, as you know, Eastern's already beat them twice. Can East Lansing break through, or does Eastern make it a sweep?
You know what, Earl, Tim Stout used to get me on this all the time because I would never make predictions, especially when both coaches are, great friends of mine, and I'm recruiting a couple kids off of both teams. You know, I just think that I've seen both games, and both games have been great games, and I think it just depends on who's playing well at the end of the season and when that game starts. And hopefully for them, both teams will be playing well, and it'll be a great game. That's the thing that happens in Lansing a lot of times is, you know, you get two great teams playing first, and somebody gets, knocked out. It'd be nice if one of them was going to Battle Creek and one of them was staying here, and then they got a chance to meet, you know, at the regionals or the quarterfinal levels. But, you know, I don't know, and I just always go expecting a great game. I know both teams would be ready for it.
Okay. Hey, Mike, it's always a pleasure talking with you. I know you don't have a home game for a little while, do you?
Right. You know, I think we have four games left, and three of them are on the road. But one of the games is against a team that beat us, Grand Rapids beat us. But, you know, I've been talking to my guys, and not that they're overconfident, but, you know, they feel like they can win. They really feel like, hey, if we come out and play as hard as we can, and that's the thing that I convinced them, is that, hey, we're just an okay team when we're coming out playing, you know, not fast, not hard, not being competitive, but we're a great team when we're out there giving it everything we got. And the guys, they've responded to that. And I think the road games are a good thing for us because we play okay at home. You know, for some reason the guys don't like, you know, I'm a holler guy and you can hear everything I say. And I think sometimes it affects them when we're at home, but when we're on the road, it doesn't affect them at all. So I just hope that we can continue to keep playing the way that we play. I think the guys deserve a chance to win this conference and deserve a chance to play in the state championship game, which if we win it, we'll host this year.
Oh, okay. Oh, that'd be good. Shoot. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you'll host the game because that means be some good popcorn over there for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, it's always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. And so I'll talk with you a little later on, but best of luck the rest of the season.
You know, Earl, thanks for, thinking about our program and giving me a chance to come on and talk about, you know, what we're doing and how we're playing, you know, especially when, you know, all the guys are, from Lansing. And so I really appreciate you for that, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay. All right, Earl. See ya.
See ya. Bye-bye. And that's Mike Ingram, the head coach over at Lansing Community College, and has another very good team this year. Hey, give us a call tomorrow. We'll be back talking more sports with you right here tomorrow on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, give us a call at 353-5000. That's 353-5000, area code 517, for your chance to win tickets to MSU basketball or MSU hockey. We'll give tickets away on Thursday for MSU hockey for Friday's and Saturday's game. We'll give the tickets away tomorrow for MSU basketball for those games coming up on Thursday night. So if you want a chance to win the basketball tickets, give us a call, 353-5000, area code 517. And then on Thursday, we'll give away those hockey tickets for Thursday and for Friday and Saturday's games. We've got, as you know, hockey is doing quite well right now, and basketball is doing extremely well right now. So give your chance to win tickets to either one right here on AM 870. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. And come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports right here on AM 870. We've got we always love talking with you, and we love to hear from you. So make sure you give us a call tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. We want you to make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll hear from you tomorrow on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a very good evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.